Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Spurs Up Mike. And there's everybody's favorite cousin, the Coxswain. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on? Spurs up, baby!
Yeah. I just logged on. Shane was in a battle with a can. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, my Diet American Dew. You know, I'm feeling patriotic today.
Oh, it's one of those American cans?
Yeah. So here, I got an empty here. Yeah, look at that. It's got American Dew. You know what it pairs well with, Mike?
What's that?
Tennessee Legend Distillery. That's right. We're gonna talk South Carolina, but be sure to jump over that state line to Tennessee Legend and let them know the cousin sent you. Man, this is a killer spot. This is just fun. It's a fun environment when you stop in. They got tasting going on. They got all kinds of stuff in this little section. They got wine beside them. They got cold beer that they make. I mean, literally any spirit you want, you can find. But the big one, the one that I love the most, is Tennessee Legend Distillery, and they got all kinds of cool stuff and souvenirs you can send back home to the family. So, like I said, be sure to let them know if Mike and myself sent you over, and you'll get the discount and the bonus gift. I like bonus gifts. We need more bonus gifts in life, don't we?
They got old Cock Brian over there too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is his show, right? That's a good point.
So, hey, we got love for the Gamecocks all the way around, Shane. You ready to dive into nothing but some Carolina foosball?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we won't spend a lot of time last year because, buddy, I went back and watched the last preview. We were like, this is the year. They can do it. 4-8. Ooh, and man, could you imagine a world, Shane, where that the opener in Atlanta against Virginia Tech, you know, the Gamecocks were favored. Mm-hmm. I don't want to act like that was an upset, but that was like a big primetime game, nationally televised. If in a world, what world could I have told you, Shane, they're going to win that one, but only win 4? I mean, I wouldn't have believed that, would you?
No, absolutely not. After that Virginia Tech game, man, I was convinced that we were correct, you know? Right. I was like, dude, they are going to destroy some teams this year, and boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, well, after that was kind of the highlight of the year, and then lost to Vanderbilt 31-7. That was kind of the beginning of the end, because that snapped a 16-game winning streak over the Commodores. They did beat Kentucky. They always beat Kentucky these days. But after that, they lost 6 of the last 7, and the only win was in that stretch was Coastal Carolina. So, I mean, it was about as dreadful as you possibly can get. But we have wiped the slate clean. We're looking ahead to 2026. This is one of them good years, Shane, for Shane Beaver and company. Yeah, we have a dud that we followed it up with a hellacious year. So if history's any indication, Shane, this is looking like a 10-win Gamecock team to me. So shout out Beaver. Yes, he enters the seat or the season on a bit of a hot seat. Mm-hmm. He is 33-30 overall. At South Carolina, 16-24 in the SEC. And, you know, that took a real hit last year. But, yeah, it's interesting. He's got a lot of winning records against SEC opponents. And, you know, he's more than held his own, beat some quality football teams here, knocked off a playoff team or two. Shane knows all about that, as does old dumbass Dabo. He's knocked Dabo out of a playoff or two. So, man, you just never know. And that's kind of the theme of this show, Shane. Of Carolina, they can have egg all over their face, or they can just, shock the world.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out this team. Good luck, buddy. I mean, this is, you could tell me they're going to win 4 games again. You could tell me they're going to win 10. I'd believe you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think one of the main reasons we were so high is just, I don't know. We just felt like Lenore Sellers was going to take this team and just take it to a new level. And we saw that week 1, it was like a little it was like a preview of what could happen. And you know, we kind of skipped over some of the games last year, but you know, there was times I thought they could have beat Mizzou. I thought there was definitely a time they should have beat Texas A&M, and we'd be, you know, maybe singing a different tune if they were able to close it out with a win over Clemson. So there was these games last year that you're kind of scratching your head, especially if you're a Spurs fan. You're just like, what the hell, man? You know, when are we ever going to be good? Are we ever going to be good? Right. And I feel like when you look at the seesaw of Shane Beamer's career, this is an even year. And I'm not superstitious, but you know, if I'm on the roulette table and it keeps going back and forth from red and black, red to black, well, I think I'm going to bet red the next time. So maybe this is the year that they hit again.
Shout out Simply. He says Gamecock or Shane Cock.
Oh, God.
All right.
I don't pick the names.
Recent program history, Shane. And man, this was an interesting one. I thought every time, or you know, every season under Shane Beamer, going back, this is going back to the 21 season, we've had a top 15 schedule difficulty in the country, Shane. There is no such thing as an easy schedule. And old Columbia in South Carolina is living proof of that. And at the same time, you know, the talent is, you know, about the same, hovering in the 20s, the low 20s, 22, 20, 22, 21. But we have improved it to 18 last year. So the trend is the talent's getting slightly better. Schedule's not getting any easier, though. But I think the thing that really stood out to me, Shane, if you look at all these years under Beamer, and the two really good years we had, 22-24, Carolina won 8 games in 22, 9 games in 24. Offensive success rate in 22 was 70th. So, I mean, again, that's not even that good.
Yeah.
In 24, it was 58th, and we're winning 8 or 9 games. Now, you look at the other years, 98, 87. Last year was just god-awful, 120th. But my point with that is, if we just have an average offense, we're winning 8 or 9 games at Carolina. We just can't have a dreadful offense like we've had too many times. And given we got Lenora Sellers back, you know, I think there's reason for optimism. Again, if you tell a Carolina fan, can you have an average offense this year? They're like, buddy, we're going to have an elite offense. You know what I mean? So just getting average, history says you can win 8 or 9 games here at Carolina with an average offense.
That's right. And I feel like that was, I mean, that was kind of the story in the offseason, right? This is why that coach went out there and got a guy that could help, you know, vault this offense to back to being relevant. And if they, and like you said, we're not asking them to be the, you know, God's gift of football on that side of the football, but they have to have something, because it just felt like so many times in those games that once they got a couple scores up, South Carolina was just out, right? We just, in the back of your mind, you're just like, well, they're never going to be able to come back from this multi-score game. So, but you did think that 22, you did think that, you know, 2 years prior. So yeah, let's just make offense good again.
Now here's how you do it, Shane. You go out and you hire Kendall Briles. And stick with me here. I mean, this is a lot of data, and the data I'm going to throw at you is not even really on this graph here, but this is just his track record at multiple stops: FAU, Houston, Florida State, Arkansas, TCU. Here's what I want to highlight for you, Shane. The offensive success rate for Briles in year one of every place he's taken over. Does that make sense? So,
yes.
So I'm going to give you the year before he got there and the year after, okay?
Okay.
So at Florida State, points per game the year prior to Briles, 115th in the country in points per game, 115th. When Briles got there, 67th. Massive, massive jump. Offensive success rate. Year before Briles, Florida State was 126. First year Briles, 92. So again, he's getting better in key statistical areas at Florida State. at Arkansas, points per game the year before Briles, 104 in the country, Arkansas was. Briles got there, they improved immediately to 82. Mm. Offensive success rate, Arkansas, before Briles, 117th in the country. First year under Briles, 40th. So massive, massive jumps. The only one that is not that trend, 2022 TCU. Yeah. Now, this is when they went to the national championship game and had some guys that went to the NFL. They were number 9th in points per game in the country. Briles took over, and they did fall to 41st. But offensive success rate, even though they went all the way to the championship, TCU was 57th in offensive success rate. First year under Briles, 15th in success rate. Mm. So I know that's a lot of numbers at you, but point being is, if it happens once, you know, that's nice. If it happens twice, if it happens three times, if it happens four times, something tells me Kendall Briles knows how to install an offense and make it go immediately if it's happening time after time after time. And that's all we're asking. We don't need a top 10 offense to win 10 games or something. We just need a competent offense. And quite literally, I just gave you all the numbers. Everywhere he's been, the last four stops, they have improved, if not in every statistical category, you know, half of them. And again, if we just do that this year, that's getting me pretty fired up if I'm a Gamecock.
Hell yeah. Well, can I ask you what the number was last year for points per game? Do you have that by any chance?
For Carolina?
Yeah, I'm just kind of trying to put that in perspective because, you know, we're talking about 20, 30 rank improvement. So,
Carolina last year, 104th in 21 points per game.
All right, so we get around 70. We hit that 60 mark. We're right back in that green almost that we were talking about. So,
But and 120th in offensive success rate. So one of the worst in the country.
Yeah, but I also would argue that this is the most talent he's had to rebuild a program, you know, in any of those stops, maybe since Florida State.
Mm-hmm. And also, again, there's a reason I mention this guy's name, Shane, with Briles all the time. Randy Clements, shout out to friend of the show, Dave Bartu, CFB Matrix. He's not even an SEC guy. He works in college staffing and helping programs hire coaches. He doesn't go off of, names or he just looks at data, right?
Yeah.
According to CFB Matrix, Carolina's got them the number one offensive line coach in the Southeastern Conference, Randy Clements. So if all those numbers I just threw at you for Briles don't impress you, hopefully Randy Clements, his career track record, the production, hopefully that will. I don't know that you could literally do any better if you were South Carolina this offseason than hiring in who unbiased people say is the number one offensive line coach in the conference and an offensive coordinator that comes in and literally turns around offenses everywhere he's been.
Randy just screams offensive line, doesn't it? Like, you didn't even tell me what they did. Say, what about that Coach Randy? I'm like, he's got to be offensive line, right? He's got to get them big uglies right.
All right, let's dive into, Shane, the offensive returning production for the Gamecocks. 58% of the offense is back. That's fifth most in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the offense wasn't very good. But again, we got better coaching this year, so that's giving me hope here. And how is this calculated? Passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, offensive line snaps that are back. Sellers, of course, is back, so that's where the vast majority of our passing comes back. Unfortunately for us, Sellers also led the team in rushing. But, hey, he's back. That's the key thing. It don't matter. He is back. Matt Fuller and his 260 yards, they're second most back. Receiving, we'll talk a lot about the receivers, but I really like this group. Nick Harbor, Jaden Sellers, mm-hmm. Brady Hunt, Mazio Bennett are all back. 52% of the receiving, that's third most in the Southeastern Conference. And then offensive line, 36% of the snaps from last year are back. And again, I didn't really know how to count Josiah Thompson, but I put him in here. It may not be fair because he is injured and he's he's expected to miss the rest of the season, but he is back. So yeah. I just calculated him in there. But again, we got a massive overhaul on the offensive line.
Yeah, but Randy's involved now.
And then for the defense, again, we got Clayton White back as defensive coordinator. He's probably the most underrated defensive coordinator in the entire conference. All he does is produce a highly effective defenses. Even last year, I know our record was awful, but it wasn't because of the defense. Defense returns 52% of the production. That is seventh most in the Southeastern Conference. And we measure this with the percentage of tackles returning, tackles for losses and sacks, passes defended, and interceptions that are back. So we're bringing a ton back at linebacker, which is really helping us. 56% of our tackles are back, sixth most in the Southeastern Conference. Tackles for losses and sacks, 48%, thanks to old Dylan Stewart there. That's 10th in the SEC. And then passes defended and interceptions, 52%, so seventh in the SEC. So kind of middle of the road. So we've got some work to do.
Yeah.
But I've got a lot of faith in Clayton White to get this unit up to speed.
Yeah, I do too. And you know, on both sides, I just think it's impressive, given how bad last season was, for, you know, shout out to Shane Beamer, creating that culture over there in Columbia where they're able to actually return some serious talent, some NFL talent. And, you know, everybody thought, I mean, you could plug four or five unsuccessful coaches in this conference. Their team's going to get poached like crazy. You just don't see it over there in South Carolina.
Yeah. And that's all we heard, right? Dylan Stewart's going to LSU.
Yeah.
Lenore Sellers going to Miami. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was like 2 months of that bullshit rumors.
Yep.
Not on my watch, says Beamer. You know what? We take care of our guys here.
The last elite guy they sent anywhere didn't do anything over at Ole Miss, you know? Like, hey, maybe we shouldn't mess with him.
All right, so let's jump into the portal additions here for the South Carolina Gamecocks. On Three's got this as the 29th portal class, but shout out our friends over at 24/7, Shane. 19th portal class, according to them. So they are the gold standard when it comes to transfer portal rankings, in my opinion. 27 transfers in, 19 transfers out. And here's another one. So I didn't quite know what to do with them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to believe in Beamer. I'm counting them. Left tackle Jacarius Peak, who got hurt in the spring.
Yeah.
They say he's progressing. They say he's going to be back. I've heard different, but I'm gonna lean towards them. So, because we knew, God, do we need him at left tackle? We're being optimistic here. So, Jacarius Peak he's gonna be solid for us. He's gonna be a rock at left tackle. We're adding all kinds of defensive linemen, offensive linemen. Caleb Herring from Tennessee, a defensive end. He's solid. Receiver Nitro Tuggle. He was at Georgia. Some stuff happened there. He had to go to Purdue. He shined at Purdue. Now he's back in the ESC. That's what you do. You make a mistake. You got to go to the Big Ten for a year and figure it out. Now you get to come back to the SEC. So watch out for him. A Texas running back, Christian Clark. He started to come on last year for the Longhorns. Now he very well could start. I don't know that he's going to start, but I think he's going to factor in big time here for the Gamecocks. And name to know, Shane, again, Kentucky, most people, you know, it's Kentucky, and they had it down here, so no one pays attention. But Quasheed Scott started every game for them. I think he's going to start for the Gamecocks. I think that was a really nice addition in the secondary. So this is pretty solid portal class here.
Yeah, and, you know, again, just doubling down on the trenches, which I think is important. This is exactly what's been kind of hamstringing South Carolina. So I thought that was awesome. And just look at these names, man. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're going to the other five conference, you know, you're going over here and stealing guys from Tennessee. You're going to guys stealing from Texas. South Carolina wasn't doing this 5 years ago. So they created a system here. Kids love coming here to play. And I think they shored up some holes that they had for sure.
And just a little wild card here, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
This last guy I listed, Dwayne Arnett, offensive lineman, Ferris State.
Yeah.
And if anybody, you know, if that Ferris State rings a bell, that's where Trinidad was. He was the left tackle for Trinidad when they won the national championship. And then, of course, you know, Trinidad came on to the Ole Miss, had a bunch of success.
Yeah.
They won the national championship again at Ferris. Without Trinidad. I think it's because of this damn lineman. So he was the best block. Again, can you make that transition?
Yeah.
I get it if people are like, you can't come in the SEC at Ferris State. Well, Trinidad just did it, lit all our asses up. So I don't know. That's a guy to watch here.
What was that other one they brought in? Remember they brought somebody, was it an Australian or something? Or seems like it was from another country or something. I don't know.
Well, see, yeah, they got the guy from Ireland.
Yeah.
But he's never played football.
Yeah, I love it though. I love it. This is so
again, he's like a signee. He's like a freshman.
Yeah. Yeah. They got some dudes, man.
Not a transfer.
Was he big or something? Wasn't he like a giant or something?
He's a rugby player.
Yeah.
That they shared like a little clip of him and all these coaches went crazy for him.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Just a little nugget, a little more excitement, you know, talk about.
Yeah. I know. It's hard for me to get excited for someone that's never played football, you know?
No, I get it. I get it.
I know it'd be a hell of a story. They'll make a Disney movie over him, you know, but I think that's years down the line.
He gets that one offensive touchdown, you know, and then they're like, yeah, this is perfect.
And then shout out to, speaking of the recruiting, they got the number 18 recruiting class in the country. That's solid, right? But
yeah.
This is when being in the SEC sucks, Shane, because you're 18th in the country, you're 9th in the conference, but it is what it is. Again, we're spreading the wealth here, and they've got some potentially huge impact players out of the freshman class. It's no stranger to Beamer and company playing freshman and having them star. Name to know, Shane, Julian Walker, number 8, defensive end in the country. I don't think he's going to start, but I think he's going to play and play a lot, and he may be starting by the end of the year. I think he's at that caliber. Xavion Currents, number 5 safety, another one. I don't think he's going to start immediately, but I wouldn't be surprised by the end of the year if he's starting. Aiden Harris, number 9 defensive lineman. Zion Giles, number 5 offensive lineman, interior offensive lineman. How about this name, Shane? Landon Duckworth.
Ooh,
number
yeah.
10 quarterback. Our next great quarterback down here, backup Sellers. And then Darius Gray, number 1 junior college offensive lineman. So we got some studs in there.
Oh, yeah. They got some good names over there, too. Got Nitro running around. I mean, old Duckworth coming to town. It's maybe the names team this year.
All right, here's my best guess at the offensive depth chart here. Shane, again, what stands out to me? Possibly the entire starting offensive line transfers.
Yeah.
Now, again, they were awful last year. So is that bad? Not necessarily. Now we got Randy Clements running the show. Now we got Kendall Briles. I mean, and again, you got to believe that Kendall Briles and Randy Clements got to have their say in who we had here, right? Mm-hmm. So you pick and choose guys that fit the new offense. So this, not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
But it is the ultimate dice roll, if you ask me, of all new starting 5. And again, our starting projected left tackle, injured, unfortunately, in a charity basketball tournament. So again, and he's kind of the linchpin of the whole thing. So I don't even know if there's a bigger gamble than a dice roll, but it is what it is. You know what?
Oh yeah. No. Well, you know, we all saw Lenore Sellers running for his life last year. Right. And right. I think part of the reason you look at the lack of success that we had on the scoreboard, that's what you go back to, is this offensive line. So they went out here, they got some big boys. I think that Jacarius Peake's like 7 foot tall, you know, 50 pancake blocks. Jesus Louise. I mean, this is what we needed. We needed some road graders out there. And I feel like that's what we addressed. But like you said, what does it look like in the SEC? You know, what it's a complete coin toss at this point, but it has to be better than it was last year. At least I will say with Briles, I feel like he has the mind to kind of scheme around it if we kind of get in that predicament again this year.
Right. Well, and let me correct you one thing. I know he's new to the SEC, so I think you're just thinking of someone else. But Jacarius Peake.
Oh.
That is the knock on him. He's a little bit small.
Oh, shit. I thought it was somebody
else. He's 6'4". And that's what Billy told me. He's like, that's why A&M didn't want him. And he didn't have the long arms, right? So he doesn't have the measurables, but then you go watch him against Miami. Remember, Miami had those two defensive. That's why they went to the damn national championship game, because they had those two awesome defensive ends that A&M couldn't block to save their life. This guy shut their ass down, both of them. So do you want someone that looks like a Greek god, or do you want someone that shuts down all Americans? Give me someone that shuts down all Americans, because if A&M had this guy last year, they probably would have went to the national championship instead of lost to Miami in the first round. You know what? So I don't know. You tell me. I'd rather have a guy that's dominant, you know?
God, I can't believe we live in a day where 6'4 is considered small. I had a game.
I mean, these guys are monsters, you know?
I know. I would have. Oh, my gosh. I'd give $1 million to be 6'4".
All right, let's break it down by position. Now, this was very difficult for me, Shane.
Yeah.
I'm all in on Sellers.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could be. I don't think we understand how good he could be because they couldn't block for him the last 2 years. But give me quarterbacks, number one, thanks to Sellers. And basically on Sellers alone.
Yeah.
But I get quarterbacks, number one for me for the Gamecocks.
Mm-hmm.
Second position group, I really like these receivers. I said that before. Nick Harbor, again, he's just scratching the surface of how good he could be. Jaden Sellers, of course, Lenoris's brother, he started to come on last year. Only 22 catches, 337 yards. But again, a lot of that was late. I think he's a huge breakout candidate for us.
Yeah.
Nitro Tuggle, the transfer. Again, got to love that name. Donovan Murph was a true freshman. He was one of the youngest players in the country. He played a little bit for us last year. So I really like this receiver core. They added Jaden Gibson from Oklahoma. He was a talented guy. He's been in and out. He's had some issues. So I don't even know if he's going to play for us. But, again, a nice depth piece perhaps. Mm-hmm. Mazio Bennett, I don't know. I don't know what happened to him. I hope he has a nice bounce back. But he was awesome as a freshman. Last year as a sophomore, barely did anything. So I've tried to find out what was the deal with that. I haven't really been able to find out. But, you know, sophomore slump perhaps. If we can get him back to how he was as a freshman, this legitimately could be one of probably the most underrated receiver group in the SEC.
You may be on something here. Nitro will be a fun one out there, but you know, Nick stretching the football field. There was at times obviously a small window, but you got to see what the Sailors can do when they got kind of synced up there. So you're right. I feel like this could be. This one may be statistically like blowing other teams out of the water by the end of the season, you know, especially with the way Bryles likes to play.
Hey, shout out Okie Sooner, Shane.
Yeah.
He says, I'm 6'5". It's overrated.
Oh, is it? Damn. What a flex that is, huh?
And then shout out Mike Andrews. He's always got the best comments. Mike asked Shane, would you rather have a guy who looks like a Greek god? Shane's like, let's eat.
Let's do it.
All right. And then, so again, I just don't really know running backs, offensive line.
Well, you can count. Well, Norris, can you count him twice?
I don't think so. So I'm going offensive line. Again, I just don't know the whole damn program, coach's job, everything hinges on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. But I think we could piece something together. And then so last, I guess I'd go running backs, Matt Fuller. Isaiah Augusta, he's back. Christian Clark, the Texas transfer. So we're deep. We're talented at running back. Maybe should put running back ahead of offensive line, but I do like a lot of the talent, the experience we have at offensive line. And
yeah,
and the fact that it's all new, I'm not holding it against them that they were bad last year. That's got nothing to do with these big uglies.
Yeah, exactly, man. That's a coin toss. It's a coin toss, but I think you're right. I think we'll go offensive line. And that's one thing, though, that just sucks is the running game, you know, because and tied in. I really, when I think of South Carolina, those are the two positions. You know how we always kind of talk about RBUs and tight end use and all this stuff? I mean, South Carolina had it, had the reins on both of those there for a minute. And we've kind of whiffed here lately. So maybe one of those kids will pop.
Yeah. All right. How about the defensive depth chart, Shane? Here, I think we're a little bit more steady.
Yep.
Not nearly as many transfers, which is always a good thing, I think. But and I think this linebacker group, mm-hmm. one of the best in the Southeastern Conference this year, Fred Johnson, Justin Okoroku, I'm sure I butchered that. I think he's from Germany.
Ooh.
I don't know how they say names in Germany. Sean Murphy's back. I really like this linebacker. We don't play a lot of linebackers in this system, but we got some good ones at Carolina. Our defensive backs, we always have a good defensive backs with old Clayton White back here. So we got Judge Collier back, Peyton Williams, Vakari Swain, all SEC punt returner, Shane. Three punt return touchdowns. Now he's projected to start at corner. And the guy was talking about Quasheed Scott from Kentucky. I think he's going to be awesome. And Xavier Currents, the freshman, look for him to make plays. And, you know, it's good, Shane, when I got the defensive front as the third position group.
Yeah.
And we may have the best defensive lineman in the damn country in Dylan Stewart. So that should give you an indication. Again, I'm not saying the defensive line's bad by any means, but I just think the other position groups are slightly ahead. And I think we got us a really good defense here.
Could be a nasty a rush team, you know what I'm saying? So you get Dylan, you got Caleb there from Tennessee. If those guys are able to pin their ears back, that could be a dangerous two to watch. But you got to get them in those third and long situations. You can't if your defensive line ain't helping you out at all. So I do like this unit. This defense is going to be pretty good.
And minimal transfers. Again, yeah. I think that's a good sign. I think you mm-hmm. go to the transfers when you're kind of, I don't know if desperate's the right word, but like you have to hit. Otherwise, you're going to have a giant hole.
Yeah.
There are a couple transfers projected to start here, but it's not like, how many of these we doing, Shane, where half the damn thing is transfers now? You know, so
right.
I think that's a really good sign for the Gamecocks. You know, a lot of these guys have been in the system. They're getting excellent coaching, and the guys in front of them going to the NFL. I think that's another good sign for Beamer and company.
Yeah. Hell yeah. And Clayton, you know, I mean, that he knows that these kids know what's expected. So I feel like early in the season, that's going to help this defense out tremendously.
All right. A final thing here before we get into the schedules, Shane, let's get into shout out our buddy, Steven Lassen for getting us these, anonymous coach comments in the Athlon Sports College Football Preview magazine. This is what the coaches said about the Gamecocks. Lenore Sellers, elite athlete, but he's very hot and cold. If they could protect him, but allow him to show his athleticism, they could be a legitimate problem. He's one of the strongest people I've ever seen live. He's a mismatch for almost everybody. If he feels overwhelmed like he did last year, that wouldn't be good. But I think they're going to make it easy and get the ball out of his hands, as well as some design runs where he's taking on a defensive back in space or out-athleting a defensive lineman. That's what we want to see from old Sellers. And then when it comes to Beamer, they say, I don't know that they're going to be better. I haven't felt very good about them the last couple of years, other than they have an elite edge rusher. Of course, talking about Dylan Stewart there, but they've already got a couple of tackles hurt, which could factor into it. My guess is they'll be decent, middle of the pack.
Oh,
that sounds like a drink comment, doesn't it?
Why would he say that? What is it? Why does he hate South Carolina so much? You know, they're so far away, but they really do hate each other.
That's just my guess. Best guess here. You know what?
What do you think about the hot or cold, though? You know, that's it. Do you think it's more Lenore's, or do you think it was more people around him? Or maybe the system. I don't know. It just felt like something was off last year. And I think it's easy to blame Lenore's because at times we were like, why ain't he running? You remember every week? Well,
yeah,
we're not, it's not that we're not letting him run, but it felt like something was off last year.
Well, he's also one of these guys that seems like he can make like the impossible throw. You're like, good God, he can do that.
Yeah.
But then he'll miss like the easy throw.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of factors into the hot and cold.
Yeah. He just hasn't quite figured it out.
Yeah. So, and sometimes when we get down, then he can make these crazy. Like I always think these Alabama games, like 2 years ago, remember they were in such a huge hole.
Yeah.
And then it was like two or three possessions in a row. He couldn't be stopped. Mm-hmm. And they would have beat him. I think they just kind of like ran out of time.
Right. Yeah.
I got so you. maybe that's where some of it comes from.
That makes sense. Yeah. See, this is why I ask you, Mike.
Well, I'm going to ask you, buddy, about this schedule here for the Gamecocks. 6.5 over/under is the win total there. 45-1 to win the Southeastern Conference. 100-1 to win the national championship for the Gamecocks. Here's the schedule week by week. Kent State, Towson, and Mississippi State all at home. That's very nice to get three home games to open the season. At Bama, then Kentucky at home, at Florida. Then you get your one and only bye. Then you get Tennessee at home, at Oklahoma, A&M at home, at Arkansas, Georgia at home, at Clemson. Good night. Another top 10 schedule, if I had to guess. You know what?
Yeah. Golly. You know? it's funny. It's like, well, I don't see Georgia. Oh, shit. Georgia's on there. I don't see A&M. Oh, wait. No, they play A&M every year. Oh, yeah. This is South Carolina. You know, you showed it earlier, strength of schedule. They're always toward the top. You know, obviously having that Clemson game at the end, but oh, brother, this is a doozy. You got a lot of good home games, though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I do like that. I feel like that could help.
And, you know, like most coaches, Beamer's a lot better at home.
Yeah.
23-10 as opposed to 8-17 on the road. So
that's,
you know, that's not just a credit to Beamer. That's a credit to those outstanding fans and how wild it could get down there. But when it comes to the biggest fall camp question, Shane.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to oversimplify it, but no need to just add words to Adam. You know what?
Yeah.
I think it's, for me, it's offensive line or bust. Gamecocks 119th in the country in rushing last year. Mm-hmm. 125th in the country in tackles for loss allowed. 131st in the country in sacks allowed. So basically, Sellers running for his life. They can't run the football. They can't get any push.
Yeah.
If that doesn't change, Beamer's gone. Of course, Sellers has gone to the NFL or transferring out or who knows what. But, I think it's as simple as that. If we can solve the offensive line, and again, well, I'm not saying we got to be the world's best offensive line. You know, all those places I pulled up with Briles, TCU, Arkansas, Houston, maybe the exception could be Florida State. I don't think any of them had like five-star offensive lines.
Right.
You know, his scheme tends to help the offensive lineman, but that looms over everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's balance, right? It so many times South Carolina just, they had to get in a shootout to stay in this thing. So, and I just feel like that's not what Shane Beamer wants to do. That's definitely not what Lenore's doesn't need to be the one. He doesn't need to be the linchpin that is the reason why they win or lose games. He needs some help, needs some support. The running game's important. I do like trying to get a little more balance. But like you said, it kind of hinges on that offensive line being able to create those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. All right, Chad, you ready to play a little win, loss, or toss?
Yes.
All right, so there's how I got it. Win, loss, or toss for the Gamecocks. And let me...
Yeah, bring that back up there.
A little bit again. All right, so I've got five games should be wins.
Oh.
Wait, I think I counted way wrong here.
That's a lot of wins.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Wrong one. Win, loss, or toss. I got five here, Shane. That should be wins. Kent State, yeah. Towson, Mississippi State, Kentucky, at Arkansas. Do you disagree with any of those?
Wins. No, I do not.
Okay. And then I've got, unfortunately, this is going to make or break our season. Five toss-ups.
Mm-hmm.
At Alabama, at Florida, Tennessee, A&M, at Clemson.
I would me personally throw Bama in there as a loss, so remove it as a toss.
Okay. Any others?
No, I think you got the other ones.
And then losses at Oklahoma, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I see what you're saying. Of course, you love Bama for some reason, but I mean, they should have beat Bama last year.
Yeah.
And then 2 years ago, I won't say they should have beat them, but it literally came down to the final play.
Mm-hmm.
And this is good Bama teams.
Right.
If Bama takes a step back, and there's a lot of reasons to think they will, I don't know. I think that's a gettable game.
Could be, right? And I think that's my reaction. I did this with a lot of teams, man. We just talked about Alabama. Alabama and Vanderbilt always played close. It's played close last year. You know, Vanderbilt beat them the year before. So you think year three, hey, this may be a close game. Should be on paper, but could be because they always play each other tight. I see where you're coming from, but I also see number one talent, Alabama. And I'm thinking, yeah, at home, that's a tough place to win. I feel like that would be a tough one.
Right. And Shane, how many years we've been doing this? Like 5, 6 years, yeah, something?
Quite some time.
Shout out, Jamie. Not good. Bama toss, you had them a win yesterday, Joe.
Yeah.
Get it straight. These are as each perspective. So today's Carolina. This is from Carolina's perspective. Yesterday was Bama. That's from Bama's perspective. So maybe by year 10, they'll get
it. You should have been here year two. It was rough. It was constantly. But remember, I'm Cock Shane. He spurs up Mike. So we're coming at this optimistically from South Carolina. Like, we're South Carolina fans.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we don't have to be too optimistic, Shane.
Yeah.
DeSille. A big win over Kent State. Come on. I ain't wasting anybody's time with that. They're gonna whoop Kent State's ass, right?
Yes, I do think that there's a little bit of a PTSD maybe with those early week one games. Definitely should not be. They got up for Virginia Tech, but we all remember, what was that, year one? I can't remember the team they played the year before that, but it was nasty, right?
I remember they were like blue and white. Yeah. Was it Citadel or some? It was like some stupid, awful team like that. That is a thing. I forgot to mention it. For whatever reason, Gamecocks under Beamer.
Yeah.
God, they suck early, don't they?
Yeah.
Remember Carolina? That was one.
Carolina State? Yeah. Was it? Yeah.
No. I'm telling you, they got their ass handed to them when they had Rattler opening against Carolina or North Carolina. And South Carolina was favored.
Yeah.
You know, it's every damn year is a slow start for whatever reason. But thankfully with Kent State and Towson, I'm not
right.
Yeah. I'm not too worried about it.
No.
No. Oh, shout out G's. He said it was Old Dominion. That's who it was.
Oh yeah, the trucking company. Yeah.
I didn't even know they had a football team.
I didn't even know they could field a football team.
All right, so week three. Now it gets interesting, Shane.
Yes.
Mississippi State, first conference game, comes to town. And, man, these Bulldogs, Shane, they're feeling themselves. Every day they tell me how we're disrespected up, how they're so much better. And maybe they're right. I mean, hell, Mississippi State was given – Texas fits, Tennessee fits. Mm-hmm. They forget. Of course, this doesn't really help my case, does it? But I picked Mississippi State to beat Georgia last year. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
And then Georgia whooped their ass. But point being, it's not like I hate Mississippi State. It's just I'm just reacting to what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is Carolina, very similar to Mississippi State last year, to where for three quarters they'd give you a good game. And then they'd wilt in the fourth quarter. So this is going to be a game, I would imagine, that whoever plays better in the fourth quarter is going to win it. Mississippi State, Carolina, and probably the losing coach, Shane.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to, like, fire him the next day. But I don't think they'll be back, if that makes sense, the losing coach. And you know I like Beaver better than I like old Lebby. So we got to get a win at home.
Got to. But this, again, I say this, I think I've said it about every Mississippi State game I've seen so far. You just got to be careful, right? This one can't get out of hand. This is one that Mississippi State can, have you penciled in as their potential SEC win. And this is everything to them. And I'm not saying that you're not going to get absolutely everything from South Carolina, but, it does feel a little bit different. And you mentioned we've been doing this for eight. I kind of miss some of those State fans, when the Pirate was here. We had a lot of them, a lot of cousins hanging out. Not so much. We got some diehards in here, and we'll get to you at some point. But in the meantime, you're taking another L by South Carolina.
All right, so 3-0.
Yeah.
Going to Bama. Man, could be an interesting game, Shane. Interesting game. Like I said, they should have beat Bama last year. Could have beat them the year before. I don't think Bama's going to be as good. But I think they're going to have a really good defense. This will be the first true test, I think, for Kendall Browse, Randy Clements, this new Carolina offense. I really do think this one goes down to the wire, Shane.
Yeah.
You know, I love to kick Bama while they're down. I'm going to give him a loss. So on the road, I think this is where your undefeated season comes to an end.
Yeah. But I think if there's any year that you can get Alabama, it's this one. But there are some things that I look at this matchup. These are going to be two really good defenses coming into this one with a lot of veterans on there. So it's going to be which offense makes the move, which offense takes advantage. And so this is those games that you talked about, Lenoris being a hero. He could absolutely be the hero. Nick Harbor could be the hero. There could be some of those moments, but I'd love to have this one at home again. Unfortunately, we don't, so it's at Tuscaloosa. I think it's a close game, but I got Alabama winning it as well.
And these are the matchup, Shane, where I know no one is like, all the hype around Sellers is largely gone.
Yeah.
But if you win a game like this, you're insert yourself into the Heisman conversation.
Yes.
You are back in, there's a lot of really good quarterbacks, they say, for the next draft.
Mm-hmm.
But Sellers, they don't really even throw into that conversation anymore. You play well against a defense like Bama's.
Yeah.
You reinsert yourself into that conversation too. So a lot on the line. And I'm not saying they have to win for those reasons, but just if he showcases himself, these are the conversations, Shane.
Yeah.
If you beat Bama, that's one. A lot of guys the Heisman, and it may just win Sellers the Heisman or at least start the campaign.
Well, and one thing that we talked about was, I mean, on several shows, is this is kind of a spot. This is a spot in that schedule that if they can get past Bama, I think it changes their season entirely. If they can pull off a win here, you talk about momentum, they can really start riding this thing. But if they drop one, how quick does this team turn around and go back out to competing, you know?
Shane,
yes,
you. I'm just saying.
Just saying.
Well, I'm not too worried about it because next game's Kentucky, and they're fired up about Will Stein, and oh man, he's bringing fun back to Lexington, bluegrass, blah blah blah. Get the hell out of here! You're getting your ass smoked by the Gamecocks. I think we get off to a 4-1 start. And you know, I mean, we only won four games last year, getting a 4-1 start. I know they're not going to be happy losing to Bama, but I think they'd take a 4-1 start to the year.
They would. They would absolutely take that because, again, now you're like, hey, we can lose one more and make the playoffs. You know? I feel like this is, again, an important game, a pivotal game, especially we both got them coming off a loss here, and this is one that does one turn into two. But this is a better Kentucky football team, and I just think it's a – more better. I know that's not proper English. South Carolina team. So give me a win here. It's the most best team. No, I'm just kidding.
Now this will be a tricky game, Shane. Very tricky. Perhaps season definer at Florida. Mm-hmm. What do the Gators look like first year John Summerall? I think they're going to be much improved. More better, as Shane would say. Gainesville's not an easy place to win. Beamer's had some success against the Gators. Of course, he's also broke his foot on a Gatorade cooler after a Florida game, too. So it's up and down, right? But this is a good year. And I this is what I keep saying, and I keep coming back to this, because I think this is a true toss-up. I go either way on it, right?
Yeah.
But I think we got to move away, or at least as best as we can. This is going to piss the Florida people off. But, you know, we just get so excited. Oh, John Summerall, he's undefeated. He can do no. Hell, they hated his ass when he got hired. You remember that, Shane?
Yeah.
I remember it. And we were telling them it was going to be a good hire. And now they're like, never doubted him. Never doubted him for a second. He's not lost a game. Everything. Yeah. We're going to win the Natty, you know. They've not experienced those lows yet. Whereas Beamer, he's been there a long time. He has got the lows. He's got the highs. It's a more consistent. He's established the foundation. They've got the culture. We still don't have, whether they want to believe it or not, they don't yet have that in Gainesville.
Yeah.
You got to win games like this to establish it. And you ain't getting it done because the Gamecocks are whooping your ass in the swamp, Shane. So I'm giving it to, you know, continuity. Culture, that's how you go on the road and win games like this. Mm-hmm. Florida's got to find a way. You know, if they win games like this, we'll give them that benefit of the doubt moving forward. I'm not giving it to them right now.
Yeah. I think this is an ultimate toss game, right? And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's a team that will be battle-tested at this point, and I don't know. I feel like this is a different year. There's going to be some moments prior to here that you're going to realize this real quick, that South Carolina is not last year's South Carolina football team. We're going to say, hey, wait a minute. Things are actually working here. And this may be a big one for them. They get this win right here, picks up that momentum again, and then people are now no longer looking forward to playing South Carolina on their schedule.
To which are you saying win?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. Without a doubt, yeah.
He's no Gator Shane, I'll tell you that. No. Then you get 2 weeks to prepare for Tennessee. Shane, what happened last time Tennessee went to Williams-Brice? Mm. They got their ass hammered to them when they were supposed to go to the college football playoff. Tennessee always has these games, Shane. I mean, Tennessee could be undefeated, number one in the country, favored by 20 points. Night game Williams-Brice should scare the hell out of you. And I think, again, I think it's a major, major advantage to have 2 weeks to prepare. Well, Tennessee is going to be playing 8 games in 8 weeks. This is the final one. I think they're going to be tired and beaten down and worn down. And so worn down they lose, Shane. Break your heart. 6-1 Gamecocks. Can you feel the Cocktober? That's Cocktober right there.
You know, I hate these games, right? As a Tennessee fan, there's just something, some evil floating around on this game, and I don't know what it is. Some of the things you hit on is how exhausted will Tennessee be at this point? You know, will we be out a few more players than we should be because we didn't have that bye week? South Carolina coming off a bye, being a little bit more fresh at night. You know, I talked about going to this game. I'm still haunted to this day, the 22 wristbands. You know, I hate Michigan with a passion. No, you shouldn't be related to this game, but it is. But I don't know, man. This one right here I feel like this one will be dubbed like the game of the year for South Carolina because it's that important for them to, if they have aspirations to make a New Year's bowl game or the college football playoffs, these are the games right here that you have to win. And dangerous place to play. I think it could be done. Give me South Carolina with a win here. And it pains me to say it.
The double cousin curse. Now, all of a sudden, if Carolina's really this good.
Yeah.
And they're riding high. I mean, all of a sudden, they're a legit playoff contender.
Yes.
And it sets up an epic showdown in Norman, Oklahoma, Shane, because them Sooners, I'm telling you, they're going to be good this year. Game day, Shane. Could you imagine telling someone South Carolina at Oklahoma game day? I mean, I don't think it's as crazy as that sounds. The problem, Shane?
Yeah.
I don't care how good the offensive line is this year. Mm-hmm. Think they can handle Brent Venables and that defense not on the road. So I think that's a win for Oklahoma.
I think optimistic. We're going to get to Texas A&M here. I kind of look at these games as the 0.5 scenarios, that best case scenario. If we can win one of these, I would be happy. Which one's more likely, you know, Texas A&M at home or Oklahoma on the road? I'm going to go Oklahoma with the win for them as well. This is going to be a tough matchup. We've seen this game. We see how good it can be and how bad it can be. And it just really depends on how soon that offensive line gels, something similar you say. But if they get one dimensional in Oklahoma, it's too late. Pack your bags. You're going home. So give me their second loss of the year here.
Mm-hmm. Now, that could quickly spiral, Shane, because A&M's coming down, and they might have their eyes set on the playoff. Now, you waxed their ass 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was like, that's what makes me think that anonymous coach comments about Sellers. I think it was an A&M coach that said that, because if you go back and watch South Carolina against A&M 2 years ago, he quite literally broke like 12 tackles. He was just a man among children, is what it seemed like. And that, like, half that defense right up went to the NFL. Yet they couldn't slow his ass down. So that was 2 years ago. And then last year was that epic game. Carolina was up, 31-3?
Yeah.
Ended up losing 34-31. How they lost that game, I'll never know. But point being,
We had two emergency podcasts on that one game.
Carolina gets up. For A&M.
Yeah.
I think they do it again, Shane. Come on, get your ass out of here. Back to 8-4 for you, Aggies. I think Carolina stays hot and doesn't let Oklahoma beat them twice.
No, but there's no fooling them this time. They'll definitely be prepared for this game. It's just Williams-Brice, the last time that they came up, is probably one of my favorite games to watch. That stadium almost exploded after that interception. So I feel like this is another one. They know they're doing something here. They're on to something. They still aren't out of the college football playoffs. They're still convincing each other. We win out, we're in. I feel like that's what happens here. Give me another win for South Carolina.
All right, how about Arkansas? I mean, there's no shot, right?
No, no. We can Kent State this one, right?
Sorry, Hog. Sorry, yeah. Ty, out there. You know what? Now, again, if that happens, Shane.
Yeah.
We've got a hell of a matchup here, potentially with Georgia. Who knows what they look like? You know, we did the Georgia preview. You had them as undefeated. I had them 11-1. So, again, massive, massive showdown. These used to be annual opponents. Hopefully, we can be annual moving forward, because I feel like it doesn't feel like SEC. Carolina and Georgia are not playing.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's later. I'm used to them playing early, but I'll just take a game whenever they'll give it to me. But, man, if Carolina can knock off Georgia at home, it's Williams-Rice. Bold prediction, Shane. And this is probably too bold, but if South Carolina beats Georgia,
mm-hmm.
they're going to the college football playoff.
Yeah.
But they ain't doing it.
I know. And I'm right there with you. I mean, now the kicker starts missing field goals. You got 3 interceptions in this game. I mean, we've seen it. Crazy things have happened, but I can't even optimistically think we're going to win against Georgia in Athens. So give me another loss here. Close game, couple scores, 10 points, something like that. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Georgia's elite, I think.
Yeah.
You know who's not?
This loser, Dabo's last game.
Get the hell out of here. Yo ass is grass. I think, again, Carolina's had a lot of good fortune here at Clemson here lately. So I think they can continue that. And again, best case, 9-3 is what I got. The Gamecocks.
I like that.
I ruined it at the beginning there. But, hell, I mean, I think I'd take that if I was a Gamecock fan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is this a 3-loss team that gets in?
Maybe. Depends. You know, no blowouts.
Right.
Losses, that is. And, you know, if Bama, Oklahoma, and Georgia are in the playoff, which I don't have all those teams in the playoff, but if they are, you know, I think that's you're stating your case if you're the Gamecocks.
Yeah. I think you need Clemson to actually have a good season, A&M to be in the mix, if not going to the playoffs. So there's some very impressive games that could happen there in November, but it'd be tough. It'd be a tough one.
All right. So what do you got as the 3 most important games, Shane, for South Carolina?
Yeah.
I've got Tennessee
mm-hmm.
at Florida. At Clemson.
Yeah.
I think these are the ones that define the season. Now, we could very easily be like Georgia, Oklahoma. Again, that's not really what I'm trying to like. If you lose to the best of the best, I still think you have a hell of a year.
Yeah.
But I think your season kind of comes down to these 3. Like, I don't think there's any world where you're losing to Tennessee, Florida, and Clemson. And you're being like, all right, I'm happy with the record we'll get, because we'll probably go 5-7 or 6-6 if we're losing to these teams.
Yeah, I think Tennessee's going to be definitely one. I like the Florida on the road. It's going to be a tough one right before the bye week. But the third one, I'm kind of torn. I do think the A&M. One will be big, especially if they do lose to Oklahoma. You know, that's a pivotal matchup. It's just you can't – these home games, man, you know, everybody's going to give you a pass on Georgia, but nobody's going to give you a pass on A&M. Nobody's going to give you a pass on Tennessee, even though those may even be favorites coming in this matchup. I'm not saying they're going to, but this is Williams-Brice Stadium. This is your home, and these are games that – a South Carolina fan, even if it is close, they're expecting to win or hoping to win. I would say I may put A&M on that third one.
Okay. And then
can I cheat?
Bama too, right? I will say Bama because of the momentum. If this truly is a special season for South Carolina, you have to get a big game under your belt, you know? And so is it Bama? Is it Oklahoma? Is Georgia? A&M? I mean, they got four college football playoff teams that they got to get past from last year. But Alabama early in the season, that's the one that I've got. If it's truly a run that you're going to make for the playoffs, you got to get that one early.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be trying to mix it up if I can.
Yes.
Cuz I don't think truly. I mean, I think Carolina fans are optimistic that they can maybe make a dream run and make the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to ask you 1 to 10 playoff cuz you'll just say 0.6 or whatever you but let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being high. But Shane Beamer keeps his job.
That's such a good question, Mike, because it's really based because now I'm realistic. We're not being optimistic here. What do I feel like South Carolina will do realistically? You really got to look at what Vegas says, 6.5, right? So does a 7-win season, you keep Beamer? Does a 6-win season, you keep Beamer? I mean, because this last year got Lenoris. Dude, that's a great question. I probably will say if Beamer will be the coach next year, I'll still give him like a 3.3 right now. So four. No, nah, let's give him four. Four.
Look, Vol Tigers got you figured out. 3.2.
That's about there. Because I'm just thinking, like, if not now, then when? At some point, you gotta shit or get off the pot. You know what I'm saying? It's like, right. We didn't hire you for a seesaw. We didn't hire you for a 6.5 game. You know what I'm saying? So
3.142.
Is that pie in 3.14?
Hey, shout out. Speaking of Steven.
Hey, Roll Tide.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you,
appreciate
Cut.
You, Steven Up. And then Mizzou fan number 7.
Hey!
Baber's a loser till he proves otherwise. Everyone is always so high on them. Unfortunately, no one is ever right. I feel bad for Carolina because Beamer will F over the fans again.
Tell us
how you really feel, Mizzou fan.
Damn.
And then Simply
gets
five membership shirt. Let's see. I took a screenshot here. 1 second. All right, we got
Steven Up. He sent me some money prior to the season. He says, "Hey, here's a little extra if you're just good to my tithe this year." So.
Here's the ones Simply gifted Susie my the 9440 Matthew Mitchell Vol fan Jay Herb 96 and William Wildman, cool name. And then we had the legend Mizzou fan 07 Shane gifted
20 memberships. Thank you, Mizzou fan.
He must have really liked that preview the other day. Go check it out if you missed it and watch it again. Davey Boy, Seawall Fishing, SEC Jimbo, Goofy Goober, Bobo's headset, Coach Mitch, Official Ricky J, X Gen Just You, Mac, Hillbilly Shakespeare, Jackson Law, and American English Brent.
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy. Mizzou fan.
Mizzou fan and Simply Texas.
Hell yeah. What a game that was. I love when... Oh, they're not on schedule, are they?
Not this year.
I hate that. That was a rivalry, man. It was becoming one.
Oh, that one sucks.
Shane argues with Shane.
I do. I just did it.
All right, buddy. Hey, anything else before we hop off here?
No. I hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And we're going to head up to Roan Mountain tomorrow. Going to do a little hiking. Going to do a lot. They got those trees blooming I told you about. So look for that. Then I'm going to go over to North Carolina and find a good place to eat. So we'll be up in, what is it called? Boone and Banner Elk. We're going to hit Banner Elk first and then head over to Boone. Gents. Full day. It's probably going to rain the entire time. Because I'm going.
Take a hike, Shane. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Spurs up.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.